Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
On that first Christmas morn, God sent the second person of the Godhead, had him born of the Virgin Mary, so that he might die on the cross for those who were in every way repulsive, sinful, and deserving of his wrath. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Have a holly jolly mailbag.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Hoping you're having a happy holidays. Okay, speaking of happy holidays, just to be a curmudgeon for a second, Friel, it's never a second, was watching Michael Bublé on the TV. I think it was Monday night because the football games. Oh, man. Come on, Vikes. You should have been able to mop the floors with Da Bears. Wasn't a very exciting game, nor was the Atlanta-Oakland Raiders game. Zoinks, Scoob. What was the final score on that game?
Well, Atlanta beat the Las Vegas Raiders.
I'm sorry. Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, well, they should.
Who changed this?
They moved to Las Vegas a couple years ago.
Donald Trump has got to fix it. It's the Oakland Raiders. Yeah. This is not the America I grew up in. It's Las Vegas Raiders?
Uh-huh.
All righty.
15-9.
See, that's a snooze score. You can just tell. Oh, there's a bunch of field goals. So I'm flipping around. I find the Michael Bublé, an affable fellow who sings well. And it's the very end of the program, and he's sitting on a stool with the kids' choir behind him, and he thanks everybody on his, please note, it said right there on the screen, Michael Bublé Christmas Special. It had the word Christmas. I didn't find the word holiday anywhere in the Michael Bublé Christmas Special. I want to thank the band, and I want to thank all the people and the producers, and most of all, I want to thank you. Happy holidays. And then they sang Silent Night. It's Christmas, Michael. You can say it. You're not going to offend the people watching. It's called a Okay, I'm done for now. We could do a special on being a Christmas curmudgeon. I think both of us could probably contribute a lot to that program. Please send stuff, whatever it happens to be, to idea@wretched.org. Why are you?
Don't drag me into your mess.
Do you? Come on, it just drives me bonkers. Just, it's a Christmas. I get it. You want to be inclusive. Not on a Christmas special. If you're doing a ho-ho holiday special, fine. I'm not going to be offended. I don't know why you're doing it this time of year. It just coincidentally coincides with Christmas. But not during a Christmas special. Come on, Michael Bublé. Wherever you spell that, and please text 877-282-2337.
Well, here is one from Anonymous who texted, Todd, am I being a legalist by not wanting there to be a pool table or ping pong table in my church's high school room?
Do they explain why they don't want it in there?
No.
I know, it's Robert Preston is the Anonymous writer. He was the music man.
Yeah.
And pool tables were very, very bad in the music, man. Mm. That was his shtick. He came to town. They were putting in a pool table and he persuaded the parents of River City that their kids are in danger. They're going to become juvenile delinquents if they let them play that balk line game. And so he sells some band instruments to keep them out of the pool hall. So I guess you're right. It's a sin if you're Robert Preston. But other than that, I don't think it has to be a sin. I think playing games, I get having entertainment and amusements at church because it can be a place of just hanging out. I think that's a good thing that we cultivate that about the church. At Alpharetta Bible Church, we do not yet do small groups. And if that happens and that's what people want to do, I say, cool. My preference is it's the church. Let's be in this building. I know the church isn't a building, but we call it a church nevertheless. That we're all together. This is where we hang. This is our community center. That the church is the place where we gather to do life stuff, do Bible studies, and play pool and ping pong. 877-282-2337.
I think I'd say I understand, but I don't think pool halls are as prevalent as they once were. So a child playing pool is he's not going to wind up.
Think of a pool hall,
right? But I think that's probably why the there's such a negative connotation.
Okay, I'm thinking about the music, man. That's what he said. They're slinking off to the pool hall.
Right, right.
And they're going to be playing where they sink balls into the pockets and they'll be gambling.
Yeah.
I don't think that when I see a pool table anymore.
Right.
I don't know that I ever did. It's just a game. And I like throwing darts. Now, if there's gambling going on, something illicit that I'm not aware of, sure, then it would be a sin. But as far as just having an amusement, I also understand Robert Preston's concern about it because it's like, hey, we're supposed to be youth doing Bible. That's not the fun and games. Maybe that's what's perhaps causing the consternation. It's like, this is not a rec center. You're supposed to be learning stuff. Maybe the issue isn't that there's a pool table and a ping pong table, but maybe the youth programs aren't as robust as you think they should be. And you're feeling like, great, one more thing to distract the kids from memorizing Bible verses and being catechized, which you should do. You've got to have the kids memorize stuff now. See, I can remember the Music Man from, well, let's just say a long time ago, because I learned it a long time ago. But if I had to learn it today, forget about it. Same thing with Bible verses. You have the kids memorize them now while they can before it's too late. And they end up playing a balkline game and becoming a gambler at a horse track, which I think was also Robert Preston's accusation. Please send stuff to 877-282. Mothers of River City, heed that warning before it's too late. Watch for the telltale signs of corruption. When your son leaves the house, does he rebuckle his knickerbockers below the knees? Is there a nicotine stain on his index finger, a dime novel hidden in the corn crib? See those normal things? Well, he's heading to the pool table, and then he's going to be betting on a horse race.
Is he starting to memorize jokes from Cap'n Billy's Whiz Bang?
Whiz Bang, yeah. Yeah, Cap'n Billy's Whiz Bang. Is he starting to memorize jokes from Cat and Billy? Well, if so, my friends, you got trouble. Is that the next line?
Are certain words creeping?
You need to do his, yeah, go ahead. Are certain words
creeping into his conversation?
Words like swell and so's your old man. Well, if so, my friends, boom, boom. I'm done now. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous as well. It seems like the moment the first chord or note is struck, so many people throw their hands in the air.
Yeah.
Why? Is this genuine or just trendy? Not that I have not at times during a song raised my hands to the Lord, but from the first note to the last?
I don't know what's going on in everybody's heart. If I had to guess, in probably more instances than not, it's just a reactionary thing. That's what we do. That droning music comes on or the drum kicks in and you put your hands up because that's what worship just looks like. And they're perhaps just fashioned to do that. But I wouldn't say that that's everybody. There could be somebody who is in your church and they're actually excited about being there. And maybe they know this hymn. Or they've been wanting to praise the Lord because something great was delivered by our kind giver of all good gifts. And the music kicks and they're there. They're there. I wouldn't say that everybody who does that is not genuine. I think some people are, but it is a trend, isn't it? And the music just kind of forces that out of you, doesn't it? And you see that even at the rock concerts. They put their, it's like, hey, they're at a worship service. They're putting their hands up and it's kind of just a trend, frankly. Having said that, I think the Bible actually endorses raising your hands for prayer or for worship. I think the body can be involved in worship, kneeling down, total obeisance on your face, standing up, sitting down. It all communicates something. And we see that in the Bible, that men would pray with their hands raised. That nothing wrong with that. It doesn't have to automatically mean, oh, you're a member of Bethel Church in Redding, California. Doesn't necessarily mean that. It could mean something good. And there, I'll tell you, I think that if you're concerned about your church being what people, it's a wrong moniker, but we all get what it means. Oh, that's a place of dead orthodoxy. They just sing those old hymns. Even the old hymns should elicit, it can elicit, I should say, something physical from us. And I don't think that's bad. I think I mentioned this when it happened. Joe and Olga, they sit, typically they're two chairs because they've got them marked at our church. They sit right to my left, like just the row right behind me. And I couldn't help but notice, I looked over during one of our hymns, he had his hands raised. And that can be scandalous. It's like, whoa, 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 you can't do that. Well, yeah, you can do that. You want to do it decently. You want to do it in order. You don't want it to be a show. But if it's coming out of your heart that you want to show God, I'm lifting this up to you. You are worthy. And I'm willing to look stupid because you're so magnificent. I don't care what people think. I want to express my love for you in every way possible. And if that includes raising hands, then I say, raise your hands. Just be careful you're not doing it for a show, because we've all seen that too much. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know what keeps us up at night? It's watching our culture sprint away from biblical truth like it's running a marathon in the wrong direction. But here's the thing. While others might be tiptoeing around tough issues, we're digging our heels in and standing firm. That's kind of our thing at Fortis Institute. And right now, this very moment, something incredible is happening. A generous friend of the ministry looked at what we're doing and said, hey, let's pour some rocket fuel on this. They're matching every single gift through December the 31st up to $500,000. Think about that. Your gift doesn't just support bold biblical teaching. It literally doubles in impact. Listen, I'm not just talking about keeping the lights on. I'm talking about equipping believers, strengthening local churches, and being that clear voice of truth in a world that desperately needs it. So if you want to make your year-end giving count twice, just visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, do you ever wish you could be in two places at once? Well, your money can. That's right. Thanks to a $500,000 matching grant, every dollar you give to Fortis Institute is literally having an identity crisis. It thinks it's $2. And who are we to argue with confused currency? And I know what you're thinking. It sounds like one of those too good to be true deals. But I promise there is no fine print, no while supplies last, and definitely no purchase of additional items required. Just straight up dollar for dollar matching. Here's the deal. You gift $100, it becomes $200. Gift $500, it transforms into $1,000 faster than you can say tax-deductible donation. And if you're feeling really generous, $5,000 becomes $10,000. But unlike those infomercial offers that run every other week, this one, it really does have an expiration date, December 31st. That's when this magical money-multiplying moment ends. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org. In a world where everything seems to be getting smaller, isn't it nice to see your impact getting bigger? FortisInstitute.org.
Know your church fathers. Athanasius was the bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century. He was a champion of the church's fight against Arianism and was a chief author of the Nicene Creed. However, his orthodoxy did not equal popularity. Athanasius was exiled no less than 5 times, but Athanasius chose to honor God instead of man.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not a wholesome trotting race, but a race where they sat down right on the horse. I'd like to see some stuck-up Dan Patch sitting on a horse. I am so sorry. We're on. This is Wretched Radio. Please send stuff, please, to idea@wretched.org. It's getting fuzzier for me, Jimmy. I used to have that memorized. It's kind of going. That's what happens, apparently, when you're over 40. And you can also text 877-282. Like to see some stuck-up jockey boy sitting on Dan Patch. Make your blood boil, well, I should say. Now, friends, let me tell you what I mean. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pockets in the table. Pockets that mark the difference between a gentleman and a bum, with a capital B, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool.
Yep, that's right.
Did I do okay?
You do, yeah.
All righty then. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Recently, Todd, my church has been discussing getting a bulletproof pulpit for the pastor. I have concerns that this will be a distraction to the focus on God's word. What is the biblical perspective on how far to go with providing worldly protection versus living by faith?
Wisdom. That's all. Wisdom. Not going to be specific because wisdom needs to be applied. It depends on where you live. It depends on who the pastor is. It depends on what YouTube videos people might see that could cause them to come into the church and aim for the guy. It's not a common occurrence, but it does happen. So I understand a church wanting to protect its people and its pastor. We just saw that, didn't we, at the Christian school? Honestly. And by the way, speaking of that particular shooting in Madison, Wisconsin, can we please start talking about other issues? I'm happy to talk about guns all you want, mostly by concession, but I'm happy to talk about it. Can we talk about some other things? Like, what was the social diet? What was the media diet of that 15-year-old that shot little kids at a Christian school? Oh, I know the answer to that. She loved to watch the Columbine killer videos. She was in the fan club. She was into that horrid music that it wasn't that long ago. I had an article in my stack. I tossed it out because I thought, well, I haven't used it in a week or two. I'll just get rid of it. That's kind of the rule. If you don't use something within a week, just you're not going to use it. So just clean your desk and get rid of it. And it was an article about all of the kids who are big fan of the Dylan Klebold and whatever, Eric, whatever the other kid's name was. Like, what? There's like fan clubs for these murderers? And they follow them and that 15-year-old was a big fan and followed all of these different school shooting websites. What kind of a society are we that we even allow such a thing? And see, that's just why it's not good that people in power aren't Christians, because a non-Christian would find that just, well, that's a violation of free speech. No, that's wisdom. You don't put up videos and you don't have websites that promote mass school shootings. So how's about we talk guns? How's about we talk about digital diet? How's about we talk about SSRIs? Any prescriptions involved with that school shooting? How's about we talk about worldview? It seems like she was a feminist deluxe. She hated men. Let's talk about it, Hillary. Let's talk about these other things that contribute to this. Now, I can't recall because it's been a number of years since I Googled this. Jimmy, maybe you could, I'm sure you could find it. The listing of all of the school shootings, there were some that predated Columbine. But in 1999, Columbine really set off a rash of school shootings. Why? Why? We've all heard the stories. We used to carry guns to school and go hunting after school. No problem. Had a gun rack in the pickup truck. I didn't even have a license, but nobody seemed to care. And we had trucks, we had guns in the back, and nobody ever shot anybody up. And those stories are true. And doesn't mean that violent acts didn't happen. We had assassinations. We did have people misuse guns. There's no question about it, but ain't nothing like what we are seeing since 1999. What has changed? Could we talk about daycare and its effects? Why not? It's a contributing factor to how a child is formed. Let's talk about these issues. Because something has changed, something is different. And all of these people who bellyache, well, you know, Christians, it kept people in the closet and they couldn't be frisky like dogs in heat. And they were oppressive. Okay, that's the best you got. Let's take a look at the fruit of your worldview. People are getting shot up. We've got websites that celebrate mass murderers. What? My Christian worldview says those come down. Pornography, it's against the law. You'll go to jail or worse. That's easy for me. What does your worldview promote? Your worldview promotes smut. It has to. You see, this is why the media can't talk about these issues, because it compromises the integrity of their own depraved worldview. They can't talk about these things. We rely on Big Pharma for our psychotropic medications. We rely on big psychology. We need these things. We can't talk about this because I'm on it. My kids are we've been diagnosed. They can't talk about it. They've got personal interest at stake, and so they're not going to. And as long as I just brought up that subject, May next year, I was just in a meeting, so I should remember this more than the music man. It was about, we're going to call May. Ooh. Oh, no. No, we decided not to do that because that's going to be the resource. Greg Gifford was in studio. He delivered 10 lectures, I believe, on life without the numb. The feeling that people get that Huey Lewis knew about. Do you remember that song from the 80s? I want a new drug. One that won't make me sick. One that won't make me talk too much or make me feel 3 feet or 3 inches thick. That's the side effect of psychotropics. It makes you feel thick, numb, dull. And we can't possibly critique them. Well, in the month of May, we're going to release Life Without the Numb along with Greg's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. It is, man, it's going to sizzle, and it's going to help people understand, maybe, just maybe, we've been looking to the wrong institution to help with emotional issues. Let's talk parenting, the permissive parenting that goes on. When you buy a kid, parents had to know, obsessed with school shooters, gave her a gun for her 15th birthday. Brilliant. So let's talk about parenting that doesn't want to be oppressive and control the children and tell them what to do. All righty, we just saw the fruit of that parenting style. Let's talk about these things, because guns, and we'll talk about it, but not at the exclusion of everything else. Jimmy?
Yes?
That wasn't what the question was about, though, was it?
No, he was asking about bulletproof pulpits for his pastor.
It wasn't totally far afield.
No.
Just a little. It would be like the Pope Mobile. By the way, did you see the... Jimmy, I think we've got this in here, the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to have to translate... Oh, I hope I can see this. I'm going to have to translate this for you. You're going to hear the words Luterani, and you're going to hear Martin Luther and kind of an accent, because the Pope just said that justification is in total harmony between Catholics and Protestants because Martin Luther was right. Oh, man. Oh, I can't read this. Okay, well, basically, he sounded like this.
Io credo che le intenzioni di Martin Lutero...
Martin Luther was right.
Non erano sbagliate.
The Catholics and Protestants are now together on this important doctrine of justification.
Ah, protestanti,
what?
Siamo d'accordo.
What? The Pope has become a Lutheran? Well, maybe, maybe not. What are the implications of this? The answer is probably not much, because the Pope can speak all he wants, and unless it's ex cathedra, it doesn't change church dogma. There would have to be a council, and if the council would then state that justification is grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone, then guess what? The entire Catholic Church would crumble, because they would be contradicting a former council and a long line of popes who taught grace plus works, which is not what Martin Luther taught at all. Interesting. I'm glad he's maybe stumbling into a truth about grace being a totally free gift from God. But I don't expect the entire Catholic Church to change. Although I will say this. There are some Catholic churches out there, I think, that are preaching grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. Now, I don't know what they're doing with Mary. I don't know how they view the office of the papacy. But I do know that there are some that do believe that grace, that the gift of God of salvation and everlasting life, totally free. Those are the churches that probably don't have Pope Mobile plexiglass around the pulpit. You didn't think I was going to get back to it, did you? Do I think that you should do that? I think wisdom should dictate it based on a variety of circumstances, at the same time trusting the Lord. Could it be a distraction? That would be what I would weigh. How much in danger is the guy? Is this realistic, or is this maybe somebody who's got a little bit of an ego thinking that somebody can't get shot because he's the, well, pastor weak? I read a great line in an article. We are all temporary. We are all transitional. The Lord is just going to keep building his church, and we're going to come and we are going to go. And maybe the pastor needs a realignment in thinking about his role in the context of that church, but it might be wise. So I would leave it up to the elders. Submit to that, because this would not be an issue that would cause me to leave a church. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institutes. Now, while parents fight to protect their children from ideological indoctrination, Minnesota's Rochester Public Schools decided $136,000 in taxpayer grants would be better spent excluding white teachers from professional development programs. Parents Defending Education has filed a federal complaint highlighting how the district's Employees of Color Resource Group and Grow Your Own initiatives openly advertise racial discrimination dressed up as diversity. The Supreme Court will decide if South Carolina can stop subsidizing Planned Parenthood through Medicaid, as Governor Henry McMaster argues that any public funding effectively supports their abortion business. While the abortion giant claims they use the money for other services, the governor's position is clear. Taxpayers shouldn't be forced to indirectly fund an organization whose primary mission contradicts their values. Cincinnati Children's Hospital has an interesting cure for the healthcare worker shortage. Turn away qualified candidates based on skin color. The Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty filed a civil rights complaint over the hospital's race-restricted scholarships and internships, noting the irony of denying medical training opportunities while claiming to care about access to health care. A Canadian billboard company just demonstrated the new face of censorship, rejecting a pro-life group's Christmas ad showing a pregnant mother cradling her unborn child. Pattison Outdoor deemed that the message, "Celebrate the gift of life," too controversial, and just proving that in today's climate, even depicting maternal joy requires corporate approval. The Biden administration's latest prisoner swap with China raised some eyebrows when details emerged about one of the traded inmates, a Chinese national convicted of possessing 47,000 child pornography images, including assaults on infants. A Canadian Liberal MP managed to rewrite both scripture and history in one parliamentary speech, declaring Jesus was undoubtedly a democratic socialist while scolding Christians who question climate change orthodoxy. And 1 Million Moms organization is warning parents about Universal's adaptation of Wicked, noting the film's shift from subtle storytelling to overt messaging about sexuality and gender. The original Broadway show let audiences interpret relationships for themselves. The movie's cast and creators are openly discussing their intentions to push specific ideological viewpoints on to young viewers. And finally, a British pastor learned the hard way that truth-telling has limits after telling elementary school children that Santa isn't real during a lesson about the Nativity. Attempting to focus on the true meaning of Christmas, his well-intentioned honesty didn't suit parents very well. They don't appreciate the truth as much as they do magic. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, as always, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Amos was a shepherd called to prophesy during a time of prosperity in Israel and Judah. But this prosperity was accompanied by idolatry, extravagance, and corruption. When you consider the society you live in, Amos declares that God judges societies by his standard of righteousness. He hates all corruption and injustice. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Cash for the hard goods. Oh, hello. Sorry, we're on. This is Wretched Radio. Hoping you will send all things wretched to idea@wretched.org. And you can text till your heart's content, which apparently our hearts are never content when it comes to texting. We sure do love to text, don't we? 877-282-2337. Jimmy, I got a text.
Oh, you do?
I can't tell you about it, because we haven't announced this publicly, but during the last, when we were talking about whether or not a pastor should have a bulletproof pulpit. What would that look like?
I don't know.
Like, there would be plexiglass between you and the congregation. I would probably argue rather strongly against that. Mm. I don't know what good having a plexiglass pulpit would do you, like a bulletproof pulpit. Like, when you're from your torso up, you're pretty vulnerable. Preaching is an intimate thing. I think a pastor needs to be prepared. We've all unfortunately been to the church where the pastor comes out and says, you know, I had something prepared, but I'm just going to go with what God laid on my heart. Uh-oh, look out. We're going to get yelled at. You should prepare. But simultaneously, I will use this term somewhat cautiously, the preacher should be willing to let the Spirit move him. And if he thinks that it's important to say these things, and that comes from eye connection, you do read body language. You do kind of get the sense of what people are, how they're receiving this and what the need might be, or something comes to your mind that you haven't thought of that suddenly it's like, I think this is really important for the body. And to put a piece of bulletproof glass between you and the congregation, I think it might harm that relationship. Having said that, it's up to each church to make that decision. But whilst we were talking about that subject, I got a text. I'm not going to tell you that it was from Virgil Walker because we have not announced this yet, what we're going to be doing in January regarding the theology of Martin Luther King Jr. I can't talk about it, but I did get a text, but I didn't answer it while I was talking. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Iran. Todd, I'm 23 years old and have been under conviction about growing as a man, and your recent episodes and the way of manhood have been an enormous help. With regard to relationships and courting a young lady, and I know this may sound like a silly question, but how does a young man actually ask a young lady out as a Christian?
I don't think that's silly at all. Now, if you are only thinking like, dude's date, man, you want to go bowling? I can take you bowling. Okay, well, you can ask somebody out on a date. But I think a Christian young man is thinking bigger. That dating should be intentional. I think you're setting yourself up for heartache and potential regrets, making some missteps, sexual sins. If you're just dating, if you're dating without thinking, where could this go? Where do I want this to go? You're just going to go, let's go. I got a coupon to the movies. You want to go? Okay, well, you can do that. I think you're playing Russian roulette. But a Christian man, I think before asking a woman out on a date, you can call it courting, whatever you like, has done some thinking and some observing without being a creeper. Is this somebody who's qualified? Have you considered that? Study that person. Do they seem to have the attributes that qualify them for being a godly spouse? And we were talking about this yesterday, the day, something like that. We were talking about the intimacy that should exist between a husband and wife, trusting one another. Furthermore, what are you doing together? It's mutual sanctification. You're running to celestial city together. You want to do it with somebody who's in that game and wants those things and desires those things. And if you don't see that, I would say that's a pass. There's no point because they're not somebody that you should be pursuing because they're simply not ready yet. And almost every time a young person overlooks the criteria that the Bible sets forth for what makes a man or woman qualified to be a spouse, it's the pitter-patter.
I just really think she's,
it's your heart speaking. Do not listen to your emotions. You need to listen to your Bible. Are they qualified to be married? So let's say Aaron?
Aaron, A-R-R-A-N.
But wouldn't that just be Aaron?
Maybe. I may have said that wrong, but I took it as Aaron.
Well, no, it could, you know, these, everybody likes to spell, you know, we don't want to spell it the traditional way, so it's unique and different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we tried that with Haley. We weren't unique at all. So Aaron, if you've identified a woman and you think, you know what, that's somebody that appears to be qualified, you're not done yet in your considerations. And does she appear to be somebody that you are interested in personality-wise? I will even say this, it is not at the top of the list. And we need to be careful with this certainly, but the physical attraction part is not high up on the list, but it's not off the list either. And you've determined, yes, these boxes are checked. Well, that doesn't mean you're ready to marry the person, but it does change the way that you're going to ask her to spend time with you. So if you've identified somebody that you think checks all of the boxes, then your proposal for a date is going to include a talk about these things. Hi. I mean, obviously, it depends on how much you already know the person, how much time you've been spending together, and whatever the context is, whether it's a work, youth group, what have you, school. Hey, could I talk to you for a moment? Make it earnest and sincere. Don't just, oh, I hope she just goes out with me, man. That'd be just really good. No, be a man who's got intention, and you've got something bigger in mind. I have been spending a lot of time with you, and I'd like to spend more time with you because, wow, I got to tell you, everything I've observed about you indicates you're a godly woman. You're a godly individual. That would be well qualified to be a wonderful wife. And I wondered if you might be willing to spend time with me to see if you might have the same feelings about me. Would you like to spend some time together? What do you like to do? Let's do that. Something along those lines. And you can even think it out in advance. Don't rely on your wits in the moment because you're going to be all pitter-patter anyway. So think it through. And what's the point of it? And now I know maybe if you're young, here's what you're thinking. Dude, like a little heavy, right? But that's only because your view of dating is too light. What is the point of dating? You want to see if this is an individual that you're going to spend the rest of your life with in a one flesh union. This ain't no game. The world's way of going about finding a spouse, it's so trivial. It's so trite. Look for the big things. And if they're like, what? You're thinking about marriage? Get away from me. Then say, so sorry to have bothered you. She's not. So what would be the point of dating somebody who doesn't feel that way? You want to find the woman who's going to go, seriously? You're like thinking about a biblical marriage and godly spouses? Yeah, that's exactly what I've been praying for my whole life. That's what you're looking for. And don't be disappointed if somebody just turns you down because it's just a little too religious. If Jesus Christ is going to be the centerpiece of your marriage, he should be the centerpiece of your dating. And if he's not, then I would suggest you don't ask him out at all. I would also encourage you, because somebody in your life, an older man, should have more of these details, probably knows the young lady that you already have in view, and could give you some pointers and some, hey, here's how you could do it. You could ask like this. You could talk about it like that. Get some talking points, but do it with intentionality, with loftier goals. And if the woman doesn't respond, then she's not ready for that. But if she does, well, dude, then you're on your way. May turn out to be your bride. But if you don't, share that up front, I know this sounds corny to people. I know it does. But if you don't state your intentions, well, you're just gambling. And we all know Christians don't gamble. You got anything else, Jimmy?
No, I'm just wondering how that played out in your life.
I was an idiot.
How did you?
I wasn't a believer when I was with Mrs. Friel.
Okay,
so yeah. I was just a moron.
You just asked her to go get a soda down at Ben Franklin's.
Ben Franklin's. No, I don't. I all I know is, I kid you not, when I saw her coming down the stairs into the basement of that church in St. Paul, Minnesota, I knew that was going to be my wife. I'm just telling, I knew that. Now, did I know what that meant?
So I think you're kind of pretty. Want to go out with me sometime?
Just a total moron. So I get it. So I wish I could say that's what I did. I didn't because I wasn't a believer at the time. But I wish I had. And this is, This is stepping into manhood, which, by the way, I'm really grateful for Aaron for the shout out on Way of Manhood, Adam Tyson's podcast. You can find it at Fortis Plus. In fact, I think he's going to actually address this subject coming up. It's well worth your time. Thinking bigger, thinking loftier, thinking future, thinking biblical. That's what it means to be a man, at least a Christian man. This is Wretched Radio.
Breaking news. In a world where biblical truth is increasingly rare, Fortis Institute is actually expanding. We're expanding our reach every single month. And get this, churches are actually getting stronger through solid biblical teaching. And here's the story. Your gift gets doubled right now through a matching grant. That means twice the impact, twice the reach, twice the transformation. Think more resources, more teaching, more churches equipped with truth that matters. We're not just maintaining around here. We're growing. More radio stations, more content, more believers getting equipped, more churches being strengthened. And unlike those clickbait headlines the world tries to feed us, this is actual verifiable impact. The fine print? Just one thing. The matching grant opportunity ends December the 31st. That's it. No complicated conditions, just a straightforward chance to double your impact. Visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. Because while everybody else is backing down, we're stepping up. FortisInstitute.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, let's take a minute and talk about your Christmas shopping list. You know, the one with all of those people who either have everything or return everything. Well, from now through Christmas, Fortis Institute is running a sale up to 75% off of everything in the Fortis store. Here's what makes this better than another ugly Christmas sweater. Spend $75, we're going to throw in Thou Shalt Judge featuring Justin Peters and Todd Friel completely free. It's giving the gift of biblical wisdom. And we'll even cover shipping on orders over $75, because between untangling Christmas lights and dodging invites to your office Christmas party, you've already got enough stress this time of year. Listen, you could waste your Christmas budget on another gadget that'll be obsolete by Valentine's Day, or you could give something that's been relevant for about 2,000 years. Just visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. And while everybody else is out panic buying scented candles and gift cards, you could actually be giving something that won't end up at next year's White Elephant Exchange. FortisInstitute.org.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is narrative. Narratives tell us of real events with real people in real places at a real time. Not everything we read in narratives is condoned by God, but everything we read is part of God working out His plan for the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, romance tales from Jimmy Hicks. This is Wretched Radio. Okay, I didn't want you to tell me till you could share it publicly and be humiliated in front of tens and tens of people.
That's right.
Your first date with Mrs. Hicks.
Well, no, it wasn't the first date. It was the first time I ever saw her.
All right.
And when I asked for her phone number.
Oh, that's how you did it.
Yeah, I did. But it was the most romantic thing, at least in the South.
You were at the Fleet Farm.
I met her at a gas station.
Close enough.
Yeah.
You know, you got to meet somewhere.
That's right.
We all need petrol, don't we?
Yeah.
So you just asked her for her phone number.
Yeah. So I pulled in to get gas out of high school with a friend of mine and pumping the gas. We're talking.
Did you know anything about her?
No, I didn't know her.
You just thought
she was getting gas somewhere
else. I'm interested.
And my friend, he was like, see that girl over there? I said, well, yeah. I bet you won't go ask her out.
Oh, wow.
I did. Phone number, and we've been together ever since.
Yeah, okay. Unfortunately, it worked out. Because that's probably not the best way to go about it. And you can't use his anecdote to justify casually asking out a chick.
Yeah.
So try to be loftier. Now, going back, would you have done it the same way? With the wisdom that you have today.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, it would be different.
Yeah, I was lost as a ball in high weeds.
And that's Southern right there. to do it with some thoughtfulness, I think it honors the woman. Hmm. Would you, I've been observing you, again, not creepy stalker, but everything that I see about you has been so spectacular and you're so godly. And I was hoping you might be willing to spend time with me to see if you might consider me to be a potentially qualified godly spouse. Now, can I have your number? And then you get back to filling up your tank. 877-282-2337. But it honors a woman.
It does.
And if the woman is put off by it, it's like, well, that probably answers your question. That could have only been answered through several dates, which would have ultimately resulted in heartache. What are your goals, young man? What are you looking for? If you're just going to walk around looking for some girl that you find attractive, well, you just roll them dice. Just keep rolling them dice. Instead, use your time to look for godly. And when you find one, believe me, she's not going to think you're weird. She's going to go home and tell her parents, you are never going to guess what happened to me today. I was at the gas station and this young man came up to me and said, I just want you to know I couldn't possibly ask you out on a date because I don't know you well enough and I don't know if you're qualified to be a biblical spouse. Something like that, I think. 877. By the way, I found this quote. It was from Good Leaders Come and Go. I think I said something like we're all temporary. No, it's we're all interim. The person who wrote this article was talking about being an interim pastor. And, you know, you're just a transitional guy until it dawned on him. We're all interim. We're all transitional because he was wondering, you know, how do I act? Do I implement? Do I try to make any changes? What do I do with this situation? I'm just the interim guy. No, we're all interim guys. All of us on this planet, not just pastors, not just parents, all of us, we're interim. And we need to remember why we're in this term in the first place. And it's to glorify God. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Sebastian. Todd, I wanted advice about engaging unbelievers, especially those whose conversations are always spewing out ungodly things. Yeah. I'm referring to people that just seem unreceptive even when trying to speak on the things that could possibly lead to a gospel conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that we all do this. I'm not sure this will hit the bullseye for you, but I think this is perhaps the most helpful nugget that I know has helped me so much. I no longer go out to witness to people because that attitude, that mindset for me is I got to get it in. I got to get started. I got to make sure I get the law. I got to get the gospel. I got to get the crucifixion, the resurrection. And if I don't, I failed. And if I can't get through it, that's not the purpose. I now talk to people because I want them to know the love of God in Christ Jesus. I want them to know that because there's nothing better. There's nothing close. It's funny. Maybe you've had this thought. It's pretty simplistic, but I was thinking about if somebody invaded our home. I was just sitting in our house, I think, and I was drinking a cup of coffee. I think it was in the morning, and I was just thanking God for our house because I think we sometimes take it for granted. And it's like, wow, I can change the temperature. I've got cold food in there. I can make it hot. We're pushing a couple of buttons and sending things that'll give you a big old tumor. Look at all the conveniences that we've got here. Thank you for this, Lord. And then I thought, and if somebody were going to take everything away but one thing. Now I'm talking about tangible. I'm not talking about people. You get to keep one thing. What would it be? Jimmy, what would your answer be? All of the furniture, the stuff that you've got in the garage, the junk drawers, it is all gone. everything that you've worked for, paid for, or have on credit, what would it be, the one thing that you'd want to keep?
My Bible.
Bingo. That is exactly what I thought. I could, that's what, I don't care. I do not care about any of this stuff. I do care about, I would die without my Bible. I mean, what? I feel like I would be in some sort of Dune movie where I'm just like staggering around in a desert by myself and people come up and go, what's that? I don't know. I would be totally lost without it. That's just the compass. That's just the that's all I actually need. And that is how I know other people would live a productive life and spend a magnificent eternity, that they knew and believed the contents of that book, which are all about Jesus Christ. That's what I want. That'll change the way that you engage with anybody, whether it's an intentional going out to witness or whether it is just a conversation this Christmas, whatever scenario you are in, don't be on a mission to get everything in. Be on a mission to let them know, wow, there is something so much better than anything you've ever experienced in your entire life. That'll change everything. And if they get crabby and walk away because of that, and by the way, it has a tendency to dial that way back. It is true. I think culture has changed to a degree, especially on the university campus. Witness encounters are nowhere near as contentious as they once were. They are just, people are just, they're just empty vessels waiting to be poured into. But I do recall that my witness encounters were far more volatile in that they could just go off at any time and people could walk away or just get upset or agitated and annoyed. And I believe the reason is not because culture has changed. They used to be meaner, now they're nicer. They used to be disinterested, now they're somewhat interested in spiritual things. It's because me, you feel it when you're with somebody. You just know it. When I went in with both barrels blasting, somebody's going to get wounded. And that changed. The Lord just changed that. And it'll change the way that you engage with people. And if you aren't able to get through everything, rely on God's sovereignty. Apparently, God didn't want them to hear about that. Apparently, that is one of the greatest comforts for preachers, by the way. I don't know that there's a good Bible preacher who has not perhaps on Sunday afternoon gone, oh, I left that out. I forgot that. Oh, and you can say, but God apparently didn't want me to teach it because I didn't teach it. And you can rest in that. Apparently, he didn't want them to hear that. I did, but he didn't. So I didn't, because he's in control, not me. And your witness encounters, when they are driven by a desire to share good news that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It will not be contentious. And if they don't listen to the entire thing, it's okay. The Lord is in control of it. Your job is just to be a loving, faithful, truthful witness. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. It's a text. Todd, as a missionary, is it more biblical to fundraise and live off donations for ministry support or to work a job and provide for one's own expenses?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, yeah. Mm-hmm. If somebody can support you and you can dedicate all of your energies toward it, I say praise God. If you have to work hard and make tents, I say praise God. But as long as the subject of fundraising has been brought up, it is that time of year, don't you? Jimmy, bad host. I think this is the first time I've talked about this all week, because we don't typically do that in the program, because, well, we trust God and God's people are generous, but it's that time of year and we've got the matching gift campaign, and it's really important that if you're going to support this ministry financially, this is a really good time of the year to do it, especially with a matching gift. We are hoping that you will partner with us, because we got big plans, really big plans. You're just going to see more. You're not going to believe what we're going to roll out in May and June. It's like, seriously? Wow. If you'd consider partnering with us, now would be a good time to do that. We would be most grateful. FortisInstitute.org/donate. FortisInstitute.org/donate. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.